You may have noticed this week, some of you, that one of our members posted an article on our closed member Facebook page called "Choosing a Stubborn Love: Why I Returned to My Mostly White Unitarian Universalist Congregation." Michael Hornsby, the author of the article, shared the experience of discovering his congregation for the first time. He writes, "It seemed my family had found a spiritual home, and we wasted no time becoming active in congregational life. We scooped ice cream, organized potluck dinners, helped set up the annual Halloween party, served as greeters and ushers and service leaders, and co-facilitating the beloved Conversations Workshop." Hornsby's abiding commitment continues for years, leading to his eventual election to his congregation's board of trustees. Yet Hornsby shares that, "Nevertheless, I was never allowed to forget that I was an outsider. There were several occasions when white people seemed to think I might be amused by a joke about my skin color or about Black Lives Matter. One white woman joked in my daughter's presence that I scared her. There were even times when white people would start a conversation about race with me before even saying good morning." After years of relentlessly being shown in word and in action that he was an outsider, Hornsby left his congregation. And after a time of searching and reflection over a year of distance and prayer, he concludes, "First and foremost, I am a Unitarian Universalist. I explored other churches in the area, but I am only truly comfortable following Unitarian Universalist principles. No other religion was a good fit for my spiritual needs. For me, I truly aspire to be more loving in my heart, so I will go back and try again. My UU beliefs will not be so easily abandoned." The way I interpreted Hornsby's article, he came back to his Unitarian Universalist congregation because he felt deeply connected to the part of our faith that goes beyond individual wants and personal searches for truth. Connected to something about our faith that white people cannot own or interpret or welcome others into exclusively. As Hornsby said, "I am only truly comfortable following UU principles." But he lists one more reason why his stubborn love took him back to his congregation. In his words, "I need human in-person connection to look people in the eye, shake hands, and give and receive friendly embraces." The pain and the beauty of Michael Hornsby's commitment both strike me. The pain, of course, is that Hornsby is kept at arm's length from the heart of the community he loves. He finds himself predominantly in the company of white people who don't want to make room for his full humanity if it means looking a long time in the mirror. What a painful way to experience a community that you belong to. The overwhelmingly beautiful and courageous and compassionate thing is that he stays and continues to give and love for the sake of something larger than his individual experience. What a way to live our faith. I think many of us are drawn to Unitarian Universalism because of the individual search for truth and meaning that we hold so dear. But for those of us who stay in this faith, I don't think that it's primarily that individual search that keeps us coming back. Perhaps that's something more than our individual experience is what's called our living tradition. You may have noticed earlier when we picked up our gray hymnals to sing that I didn't coin that phrase. It's been used to refer to Unitarian Universalism for quite some time, hence our singing in the living tradition. But typically we talk about being a living tradition because we are a religion without a creed. And the way we approach our ultimate truths is expected to evolve over time. In fact, very little about our faith is fixed or written in permanent ink. With all this flexibility and change, how exactly does our shared sense of what matters most get passed down? Through people, of course. Through writing and books, but also through relationships and conversations, through meetings, through congregations singing songs together. In this more literal sense of the living tradition, our faith is passed down by living human beings from generation to generation. Of course, the experience of living this faith in community isn't passed down from the oldest generation to the youngest generation and so forth in a neat and tidy fashion. It's more that our faith is constantly passed between and among generations as it's handed down. All of us in this congregation, regardless of our age, share a history with the lives that were here before us. We belong to the same motion. It's true that we pass on our fear and our bias and our egos and our need to be right. But the living tradition is that something more than our individual experience. It's what we pass down when we aren't thinking of ourselves alone, when we aren't putting ourselves above another. It's when we lift up our relatedness most profoundly that we pass along truths that have a life of their own. Growing up in a Unitarian Universalist congregation, I understood the truths that are most alive for us to be that there is promise, there is possibility in every human soul, regardless of anyone's actions or inactions. Love is not a limited resource saved for one group over another. And the work to make the world as it should be won't end with us, but it's ours to do. No one spelled out Unitarian Universalist history or theology for me until I read about it in seminary. Our faith was passed to me by the people in my community, through relationships and conversations and singing songs together on Sunday morning. Our faith was handed down to me while playing on my congregation's softball team when I was 7 with Oliver, who was in his 80s, who commiserated with me as we both inevitably struck out again and again at every game. Myrna, who was a stand-in grandmother for our congregation's children, bringing cakes or pies to potluck with this huge sign that said, "Children only." Barb and Chris, who were the coolest 20 and 30-somethings I could imagine. Barb with her combat boots, and Chris with his in-depth knowledge of David Bowie. How they sat with my youth group multiple times a week, listening to us figure out who we wanted to be and how we wanted to change the world. And even the Saturday work parties that my parents dragged me to, and in retrospect, I enjoyed, where we would weed and plant around the congregational grounds, and then people of all ages eat pizza together. As a kid, I learned our faith by watching adults live it. And more as an adult, I learn our faith by watching our kids and youth live it. We can read about Unitarian Universalist history and theology in books and resonate with it. We can read about people who lived our faith a long time ago or who live it hundreds of miles away from us. But I agree with Michael Hornsby. I need human, in-person connection to look people in the eye, to shake hands, and give and receive friendly embraces. Because it isn't only our ultimate truths that we want to pass down, it's also the experience of the community that lives by them. It's that experience of community that we want our children and their children's children to have long after we are gone. As we say together in our family dedication ceremony, we will hold before you and your children the shared values of this congregation and will seek to embody those ideals in the lives we live. And our prayer is that we may build a community in which our children grow old, surrounded by beauty, embraced by love, and cradled in the arms of peace. Our living tradition is that something more than our individual experience. It's the ultimate truths and shared experience we pass down when we aren't thinking of ourselves alone. Kathleen and I have had our minds on the living tradition this summer as we began thinking about what it might be like to start a family ministry here. We want to offer programming and worship and events that will invite families to discover deeper spiritual meaning collectively as a family. We want to provide opportunities for families to explore how to claim their role in the work of societal and environmental transformation. We want to provide times for families to build better community with one another and the congregation as a whole. Not parents, caregivers, grandparents experiencing congregational life in one place, and children and youth in another, but all together. And we are inviting everyone into this joyful work of building a family ministry here, whether or not you hear that phrase family ministry and think, that applies to me, we need you. Because one person, one generation, one segment of our congregation can't carry our living tradition alone. It's in our coming together that we keep our faith alive. A faith that reminds us that there is promise, there is possibility in every human soul. That love is not a limited resource saved for one group over another. And the work to make the world as it should be will not end with us, but it is ours to do. We need all of us, because it's not only our ultimate truths we want to pass down, but the experience of a community that lives them. Blessed be. Amen.